All right. Well, welcome, 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 everybody. I'm Joanna Lindenbaum, for those of you that don't know me, although I think at this point almost everybody here knows me. And I'm just thrilled that you're here for the Sacred Depths Coach Certification. I've been waiting for you and for this day. Start of this training, and I'm just so excited, and I hope that you are too. So first and foremost, one of the biggest reasons that I'm excited is because the people that have raised their hands to be in this room are just absolutely incredible. I'm honestly so truly honored to be here with you and to guide you, and I'm so excited for this incredible community to start to come together and for you to all get to know one another and support each other. The next reason why I'm so excited is because together we're all about to step onto a sacred and a very important and very vital journey. It's the journey of mastering the art of co-creating not only incredible results with your clients, but also beautiful inner shifts and long-lasting growth and transformation. Whether you will use the skills and tools that you learn in this training for your coaching practice, your acupuncture practice, your massage therapy practice, your real estate practice, whatever it is for you, you're going to emerge from our time together highly skilled to navigate pretty much anything that your clients are going to toss your way, consciously or not. You're going to be able to navigate their fears, their resistances, their self-sabotage mechanisms, their stalling mechanisms, their victimhood, all the reasons why they can't, their obstacles, their lack of clarity, all of it. By the time that we're complete, you'll no longer see client fears and obstacles and stuck places as things to fear yourself or to stay away from. You'll actually start looking forward to those things for clients and hopefully even have a little bit of a bring it on attitude about all of it, because you'll know that what's waiting for them on the other side of it is more satisfaction, more freedom, and greater ability to create what they want for themselves. By the time that we're complete, you'll know exactly how to hold sacred space for your clients so that they open up quickly, so that they trust you fully, so that they receive the holding and being seen and heard that they really need to be able to transform and grow and take action that's aligned for them. And if you're already really masterful at holding sacred space, you'll see that through the course of this training, you're going to get even better. You're going to get to your next level of it. By the time that we're complete, you'll have gained tools, skills, wisdom, and practices that are going to set you apart from 99% of the other coaches and healers and teachers out there. You'll understand client behavior in ways that you never thought possible. And that understanding is going to allow you to coach them with incredible success. You'll have the confidence to stand fully behind the marketing promises that you make, because you'll literally own inside of you exactly what you need to co-create real and big change with your clients. Your clients will feel very connected to you and in gratitude for you. You'll see that your clients stay with you longer than what's standard in the industry. And you'll also very likely see that you'll start receiving more referrals and that your reputation grows more easily than others. So all of this is the core of why I'm so excited to be here with you, for all of you to be able to have all of this. And Also, the other reason why I'm excited to be here is because, as you probably know by now, my mission is really to raise the standard of quality in the transformational industry. It's an industry that I love so, so much and owe so much gratitude to. And also, at the same time, with people becoming coaches and guides so quickly, there have also been some surface trends over the last years and some fluff. And if you're here, I know that you're someone who already goes deep. If you weren't, then you probably would have run pretty far from this training. And we're going to go even deeper. So as if all of that weren't enough, there are also some other benefits that you're going to receive, that my intention is that you'll receive from participating in Sacred Depths. So first of all, you're going to know and understand yourself, your own fears, your own habits, your own patterns, your energy sourcing, your desires, your obstacles better than you ever have before. You'll notice your own personal growth as we journey through all of this together, and hopefully you'll notice a lot of deep inner shifting. You'll notice yourself bringing a much more powerful and empowered energy to your business and to who you are as a transformational leader. Everything you learn in this training will also make you a better team leader, a better partner, a better friend, a better parent. Without even realizing it, or maybe very consciously, you'll begin to use the tools that we learn not only with clients, but when communicating with other people in your business and in your life. Because really, at its core, coaching is about being the most effective and transformation-providing communicator that you can be. And in addition to all of this, Sacred Depths will also help you up-level your marketing, your sales conversations, your copy, your preview presentations. Because the better that you are at holding space, at reflecting, at listening, at asking breakthrough questions, at building vision, at strategizing, at knowing how to hold people's hands through resistance and fear, the better you are at all of that, then the more effective all of your marketing becomes, whether it's in-person marketing or online. The other piece is the more confident you are in your skills, the better your marketing becomes. So there's just so much here to look forward to delight in, to sink your teeth into. And again, I'm just so happy and I'm so honored. You know, hand on my heart, I'm just so honored that you're here. I can't wait to get to know all of you better and to connect with all of you. So here's the first thing that I want you to know. And if you know me already, if you've been in any other programs with me, you already know this. I am 110% here for you. I'm not one of those hands-off type teachers or coaches. If you're here, I want to know you. I want to support you as much as you'll let me. I want to hear your voice and not only have you hear mine. You'll be hearing a lot of my voice over the next 10 months, but I want to hear yours too. There's so much support available to you throughout this training in so many ways, but you need to take me up on it in order to receive it. You'll get exactly what you need if you show up and do the work and ask questions and really, truly participate. I want you to walk out of this space being a coaching master, and I've very carefully designed a program to help you do just that, but you have to show up for it. And you know, for different people, showing up means different things. I'm going to share with you all the different ways that you can show up and all the different ways that I'm going to be showing up. There's some people that go through Sacred Depths and they ask a lot of questions. Like, that's what they need. And then there are other people that have gone through this training and have listened to all of the recordings, haven't come to any calls live, haven't necessarily raised their hands to ask questions, and they have known themselves that's who they are and that's what they need, right? So there's not just one way to do it the right way. So at times, the training might seem a little bit intense. And when I say intense, I don't mean a ton of work. I'm not into overloading you with work, and I'm not into overloading me with work. But what I do mean is that when you decided to step into this training, you asked for deep, and we're going to go deep. And going deep requires a lot from you. It requires you to do your own inner work, which I'll be leading you through. It requires you to put effort to going deep with your clients. I personally don't know how to do surface. I honestly, like, I just can't do it, not in my work, not with my friends or my family, not at social events. Small talk at parties is really hard for me. So it has to be this way. We're going to go deep. Okay, so let me tell you about the different components of the program, just so you can kind of see it all together and know how to use all of the components. So the main kind of core of the program, the heart and soul of the program, are our training calls. And you should have a schedule of all of our training calls. Today is the first one. They're 90 minutes long each. And each of the training calls are packed with content. I've got a lot of content. But that being said, they're also going to be interactive. There will always be time at the end for Q&A, and usually throughout I'll pause, ask for your reflections, to have shares, to do some coaching, you know, to get questions, all of that. I'm also known to add extra Q&A calls if I feel that some are needed. So if I see that there are lots of questions and we can't get through them in 90 minutes, I'll also add extra time so that you can get all of your needs met. If you can make the training calls live, that is awesome, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. But as I said before, and a lot of you have asked, you know, do you have to make all of the calls live? Do you have to make any of the calls live? And the answer is no. You know, if you can't, so long as you keep up with listening to the recordings and ask questions in the Facebook group and other ways, if you have questions, you can absolutely do it that way. But if you know that you're someone that needs to be totally in the container and live, make sure that you've got the calls on your calendar. And a lot of people do need that. Okay, so with many of our training calls, you'll also be receiving worksheets. You'll never get the worksheets before a call. I always save them for after because I feel like learning is best done in that way. If you have the worksheets in front of you, it's a really easy to get distracted from the actual content and the training. Sometimes we'll have the worksheets ready the day of, right after a call, and sometimes I'm always tweaking and improving them. Sometimes, and also taking what comes up in our calls sometimes to tweak them. So sometimes they may not be ready for a day or two until after our call. The purpose of the worksheet are to go deeper with the work that we do in the calls, and they should never take more. The first week or two, they may take a little longer, you know, maybe an hour or something like that total, but most of the time, they'll never take more than 30 minutes. Also, here and there, I'll be providing some resource sheets for you. All right, a couple of other components I want to share with you about. We have some group practicums in the program. Those are different from our training calls. It's times just throughout the program where we're going to be practicing skills together as a group, and you'll be getting feedback from me. Those are some of my favorite calls. They're very interactive. It's great not just for your own practice with my feedback, but to hear how other people practice too and the feedback that I give them. It's so valuable. So we've got a couple of those calls. As I mentioned a couple times already, we're going to have a Facebook group. I'm on it pretty much every weekday, and I am there for it's there so that I can be there for you in between our sessions. If you have any questions that come up, if you want to connect, it's also there for you guys to connect with each other. Like I said, there's amazing people in Sacred Depths. I want you guys to connect with each other. And I'll also be adding just bonus resources in there, articles, you know, little tidbits every now and again. So you're going to want to check in there. You all have a membership site. All of the recordings for the program will show up in the membership site within a day of the call. In addition to the live calls, you know, the recordings of the live calls being in there, you've got a number of bonuses in the membership site. So take a look, peruse. We've got some guest teacher calls, which are amazing, and I highly recommend listening to them. Not all at once. Don't overwhelm yourself, you know, as needed. You've got a whole business marketing course in there. So you've got a lot of resources in that membership site. All right, so let me pause there because I know I just gave you a lot of information. And let me just see, any questions on any of that? Star 2 to raise your hand. Any questions I can answer for you guys? Okay, excellent. Sounds like you got all the info you need for now. Good, good. Okay, so throughout the course of the training, you're going to learn a lot about client resistance. By the time we're done, you're going to know the ins and outs and have so many tools in order to navigate client resistance. Because when someone is ready to grow, as hopefully your clients are, there's usually a 99% chance that resistance is going to come up. Resistance is part of the growth process. And that's because resistance is a symptom of fear. And for most of us, when we grow, there is fear. So we're going to eventually get to all the ins and outs of that, but I mention it right now as we start Sacred Depths because oftentimes we can overlook our own resistance. And today I want to just briefly look at the fact that for as excited and ready as you are to step into this journey, the Sacred Depths journey, you may also have some resistance, and that's okay. Like I said, resistance is part of the growth process. It's just a symptom of fear. It's just something that comes up when we're ready to grow and when we're ready to stretch. But what I find is the more that we can just name it, be aware of it right at the start of something, then it doesn't have to bite us in the butt so much. So let's just take a moment or two to look at this. And first of all, I want you to answer this question for yourself. So write this down. Why are you here? What's the reason or the sacred purpose that you registered for this training? You know, what do you really want from this experience? This is not a fly-by-night training. It's a real time investment. It's a real energy investment. It's a real financial investment. You made this decision, and you made it for a reason. There's something that you want, that you really want, and that's why you signed up. Why are you here? Take a moment and jot that down for yourself. There may be one sole reason, or it might be a couple. And just remember why you're here. So the reason why I ask you to remember why you're here is because that's a good one of the pieces that can help kind of counter resistance in a way, right? To remember the why. But let's just go a little bit further right now, and let's identify what the resistance might be for you. Resistance can show up in lots of different ways for a training and a program like this. And here are some of the most common. So here are some of the thoughts that might be going on in your head. I'm just going to name them. So first is, what was I thinking when I signed up for this? I really want this, but it's so expensive, right? Or am I really going to have time for this? Or maybe one of the thoughts in your head is, this is too advanced for me. Or maybe this is too simple for me. I'm way too advanced for this, right? Or maybe what you've got going on in your head is, what if this doesn't work for me? I know this has worked for other people, but what if I'm not going to get what I need here? Or maybe the resistance is, I really like video calls so much better than audio calls. I wish this was video and not audio. So those are some of the resistance thoughts that might come up in your head. And then here's some of the actions or non-actions that are, you know, can point to resistance. Not listening into the calls, not catching up when you miss calls, not doing homework, not participating in the ways that you know you want to participate. So hopefully this has kind of activated some ideas for you or some awareness around how your own resistance is showing up or might potentially show up here. So just take a moment and jot down, what's your brand of resistance right now? Just name it, not to beat yourself up, but just to be honest with it and look it in the face. So do you tend to, you know, start off strong and then you just stop listening to calls, right? Let's just name that right now. Are you thinking, I am already such a seasoned coach, maybe I'm too advanced, right? Like, whatever it is for you, it's all good, but let's just name it and be honest with it so that we know what we're dealing with here. We know what we're working with here. And maybe one or two of you don't have any resistance, and that's fine too, absolutely. But just take a look under the cover just in case. So here's the next question I want to ask you, and I want you to journal on it for a minute. And the answer may or may not be apparent to you right away. Either way, that's okay. I want you to ask yourself, whatever the resistance that you're identifying, whatever it is, what's the fear behind it? What's the fear behind it? So in other words, when you tune into why you're here, what I asked you to write down a few minutes ago, for as excited as you are about that reason, what are you scared of with it? What's the fear in it? And I'll give you a hint here. What's the part of yourself or what's a pattern, person, or idea? What's a part of you that's at risk if you were to really achieve your goals for this training, that usually has something to do with the fear. There's something to risk. So take a moment with that. What's the fear behind your resistance? What's the risk for you? I'll give you another few moments with that. So later on in the program, we'll be doing a deep dive into befriending fear. But for now, it's just, I think it's helpful to just see it, right? To see the desire, what it is that you really want, why you're here, and then to also just see the fear. And so what I want to ask you next is, now that you see both of these things and your resistance, what is it that you want to commit to for this program, for this training? I want you to take a moment and make and write this down, a sacred commitment to yourself. Maybe the sacred commitment is about asking questions, raising your hand and asking questions. Maybe the sacred commitment is around showing up fully and pushing through, not, I shouldn't say pushing through, I never like to push through fears, but working with your fears. Maybe the sacred commitment to yourself is about showing up for as many calls live as you can. Maybe the sacred commitment to yourself is not tuning out when you think you already know something so that you can get to the deeper layers of it. Maybe it's about honoring yourself through this process. Whatever it is for you, what's your sacred commitment? Okay, last little piece before we get into the heart of today's call. I just want to name, because I think it's important to name this, that there are some participants here who are newbies. They're incredible, they're new to coaching. And then there are also some participants here who are very, very seasoned coaches and practitioners and also incredible. This journey is for the whole spectrum here. For new coaches, you're going to get so much. For seasoned coaches, you are also going to get so much. But here's the trick for you. If you're seasoned, this is really important. You're going to hear some things that you already know, right? Inevitably, I'm sure I already have today shared some things that you already know. What can sometimes happen when we're seasoned and we already know so much is that we kind of stop listening. We say, I know that. There's nothing there for me. What I have come to learn for myself and also in so many years of training seasoned practitioners is that when you hear something that you already know, that is the moment to listen even more intensely than to something you don't already know. That is, you know, don't go into your resistance there, but open up, because those are opportunities to go even deeper into the things that are already working so well for you, to hone those pieces even more and to hone your craft even more. So that's my invitation to you if you're seasoned. Okay. So for the bulk of the call today, we're going to be looking at the energetics of being a coach. Now, before we dive into all of the skills that you need as a coach, like listening skills, questioning skills, creating awareness skills, acknowledging, you know, all the things, befriend your fear, all of them, it's really important to cultivate what I call the powerful energetics of being a coach. And over the course of our 10 months together, we'll be weaving this thread of energetics through everything that we look at, every single topic. We'll have two specific trainings on this topic just devoted to energetics, today being one of them. But it's really woven throughout everything, and that's why I start with the energetics, which may not seem as sexy and fancy as some of the other techniques, but it is the most important thing. So what are the powerful energetics of being a coach? So what I'm talking about here is literally the foundation of all of your coaching, mentoring, teaching, consulting, advising, and healing. Powerful energetics of being a coach are about you as the practitioner setting the stage to have the most transformative and successful client relationships possible. The energetics are about you as the coach truly understanding that a strong relationship with your client is the basis of all you do together. I'm going to say that again. A strong relationship with your client is the basis of all that you do together. Because if your relationship isn't strong, it doesn't matter how amazing your questioning skills are, your strategizing skills, if you know how to work with shadow, they're all going to fall flat. So I know that if you're here, you're interested in supporting your clients to succeed at their goals. And if you're here, you're probably also interested in not only helping them succeed at their goals, but in truly supporting your clients to grow and transform. And so here's what I want you to know off the bat about this. Whatever your expertise is, whether your expertise is helping your clients market their businesses, or become healthier, or find a romantic relationship, or move forward in a new career, you know, whatever it is, whatever your expertise is. And no matter how smart and effective the nuts and bolts information that you have to share in your expertise is, your nuts and bolts information, the how-to information, cannot ultimately on its own help people, your clients, achieve their goals or transform themselves in their lives. Let me explain this a little bit more. All of the content and how-tos and nuts and bolts are useful and wonderful and so important, but that's not what changes people. That's not what transforms your clients. At least not in the way that you think it does. What changes people is the relationship. And in sacred depths, we call this the container. The container that you deliver your how-tos in and your nuts and bolts information in. What changes people is your, as a practitioner, your energy and your presence. Your energy and how you direct energy in coaching sessions, as well as in any interactions in between coaching sessions, is bar none. how you as the practitioner show up is at the heart of it all. It's what co-creates change for your clients. And then your amazing content works, and all of the coaching skills work to support all that is being shifted and transformed and healed through the container, through your presence, through your energy. Energy follows energy. So when you aren't embodying the energetics of a transformational coach, your client literally feels it, whether they're conscious of it or not. It doesn't matter how well you know your expertise, if you're not embodying the energetics of a transformational coach, there's going to be something that's off. It will be harder for your clients to really take in the information that you're sharing, or harder for them to execute the strategy or the action steps, or harder for them to trust you and to trust themselves and the work that you're doing together. It will be harder for them to feel motivated and stay motivated. It'll be harder for them to work through the inevitable obstacles that come up during any growth process or goal-reaching journey. Energy follows energy. If you, as the practitioner, come to the coaching relationship with confidence in yourself, then your client is more likely to have confidence in you and in your work together. Energy follows energy. If you come to the coaching relationship with confidence that your client can succeed, then she's going to have more confidence that she can succeed. If you come to the relationship with unconditional love and acceptance for your client's imperfections and for your own, then she will be able to have more love and acceptance of her own imperfections. If you come to the relationship not freaking out when there are obstacles, but instead trusting that obstacles can be worked through, your client is going to be more patient when obstacles show up, and your client is going to be able to trust that she can get through those obstacles with your support. For any of you that have, you know, spent time around little children, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about here with energy follows energy, right? If a child falls and hurts them, you know, scrapes their knee and you freak out, the child is more likely to freak out. If the child falls, scrapes their knee, and you're calm about it, kids still might freak out. My kids are known to. But in a different way, right? It won't be as extreme. Energy follows energy. So this is why we look together at energetics first and how to create a powerful coaching relationship first before we go into any of the other coaching skills or tools. We don't want to overlook this piece, because if you don't get the energetics, then none of the rest of it really matters. We need this foundation first before we can add any content onto it, any questioning skills, strategizing, you know, any of the other pieces. This foundation is vital because it allows you to honestly look at and course correct any misaligned inner dynamics or fears or perspectives or limiting beliefs that are going on for you as the practitioner. And to do that before you get into your client interaction. Working on those inner dynamics helps for you as the practitioner to be more clear, more grounded, and much, much more in your zone of genius and your leadership with your clients. Now, when you put the powerful energetics of being a coach in place, you're going to discover that your relationships with your clients will contain what I believe are the 7 most important dynamics that you need for a successful client relationship. and for your clients to achieve the results that they want. So I want you to write these down. I'm going to just briefly share about these seven dynamics for successful client relationships and client results. Number one, mutual trust. So the reason why I say mutual trust is because it's not just about your clients trusting you, but the most successful coaching relationships, your client is going to trust you, and you are going to trust your client. I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit. Number two is mutual respect, right? Really respecting each other. That's well, that makes a strong relationship. Partnership. Being able to work in partnerships. What that means is that you're not dictating, you're not just the expert on your high horse, you know, with all the wisdom, but it's a real partnership and a real meeting of the minds. And of course, that plays into the mutual respect and the mutual trust. Number four, you want to have room for creativity in your client relationship. So what that means is that you don't have canned answers for things. There are new ideas that are constantly emerging because of your interactions together. Another important dynamic is clear and honest communication. I know all of these are, you know what all of these are, but it's just really good to have these reminders, right? These are the pieces that really make up strong relationships. So clear and honest communication, healthy boundaries. And then finally, and this plays into that trust and respect and partnership piece. I mean, they all kind of work together, that you as the coach believe in the highest vision for your client and that your client can achieve their highest vision. In other words, you have a real belief in your client. You trust your client, you respect your client, you work in partnership, but you believe deeply in them. I always say, you know, when I'm talking to a prospect, if I don't feel that I can really believe in this prospect, if there's a part of me that doesn't believe that they can achieve what they want, I'm not the right coach for them. Okay. So now that we've defined what the powerful energetics of being a coach are, then the next question is, how do you actually achieve this? Like, how do you actually create these powerful energetics? There are a few tools that you want to have in place, and so we're going to take a look at those. And let me say that probably everything that I'm going to share with you about these tools is in so many ways very obvious. If you're a human being who's interested in helping others and who's self-aware and who knows a little bit about human behavior, if you've got these qualities, which if you're here, I know that you do, then what I'm sharing today, a lot of it, as soon as I share it, you're probably going to say, like, oh, of course, I know that. But even though it's obvious as soon as you hear it from me today, the things I'm going to be sharing with you today are things that most coaches don't automatically think or don't automatically put in place on their own without being taught, even though these are obvious things. It's like we know it, but we don't actually do it until we become conscious of it. So if you find yourself saying, like, oh, yeah, of course, that's good, like, that's great, this is about you becoming more conscious of it. Okay, so first piece here on how to create these powerful energetics and these seven dynamics that I just laid out. And this is a really big, important tool to do that, is equalize the playing field. Equalize the playing field. So, an equal playing field in the coaching relationship means that you as the coach are approaching the relationship with your client as if you and your client are two equal partners. As I said earlier, you see the both of you as wise, as able, as mutually worthy of respect. Now, of course, you and your client both have different roles in the relationship. You have certain information or expertise that your clients want and need. But that being said, there is no person in this relationship that is better than the other. There's no person in this relationship that's more powerful than the other. There's no person in this relationship that has a higher status than the other. When you have an equal playing field, that's when that trust that I was talking about earlier gets created. That's part and parcel of where the mutual respect gets started. When there's an equal playing field, then you've created an environment for true partnership to happen, all those seven keys that I was talking about, for honest communication, all of that. So this all sounds like a no-brainer, right? But the truth is that many coaches aren't actually approaching their client relationships with an equal playing field, even if they think that they are. And I'll just share that, you know, this is a lifelong or career-long maintenance thing. So even though I'm incredibly seasoned, even though I teach about the equal playing field, I still have to come back to it sometimes on my own, right, and tune up and be aware of it and always be conscious of it. If you're not conscious and aware of it, and if you don't actively work at equalizing the playing field, it's very easy to fall into the trap of not totally owning your brilliance or your expertise, or not seeing yourself as smart enough or intuitive enough or anything enough, right? Insert adjective in there. And then when this happens, when you're not seeing yourself as enough, right, it's not an equal playing field, then you also start seeing your client as smarter than you or better than you or too powerful or overpowering. You get intimidated maybe by your client, or you're scared that they're going to judge you or get angry by something that you say or suggest. It's almost as if you forget that your client is another human being with a human heart, and you start seeing them almost like a robot who you have to be careful around. And when this happens, then maybe you back away a little bit from speaking the truths as you see them about a client's patterning, or maybe you hold back on an idea that you have for a client, or maybe you don't ask a bold question. Or most importantly, you simply don't bring all of yourself forward with love to really create a warm and intimate and trusting relationship. So that's one way of not having an equal playing field. You, as the practitioner, come to the relationship as less than your client. And by the way, another place where this can happen is not just in client sessions, but in sales calls and enrollment conversations, in your marketing, right? Are you coming as less than? Now, the other way of not having an equal playing field is when you come to the client relationship with somewhere inside of you believing maybe that your client isn't as good as you. So just check this one out for a moment, because it's, you know, especially if you're here, you're someone who is kind and respectful, and you just may say, you know, when I just said that, you may say to yourself, just throw it away automatically. No, I would never think of myself as better than someone else, right? But just check this out for a moment. Maybe there's a little assumption inside of you that your client isn't really enough in some way, not enough to follow through on their commitments, or not enough to show up, or not enough to really achieve their goals. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that your clients don't have challenges and crosses to bear. Of course they do. We all do. But that's very different than believing that a client isn't good enough or that a client can't, right, can't do something. So in either scenario, either you approaching with yourself as less than or you approaching your client with assuming that your client is less than, either way, you're setting yourself up for having a very hard time to help in the ways that you want to help your client, because you're energetically creating an unbalanced relationship, one that's about fear or shame or miscommunication instead of alignment, openness, equal meeting of the minds. So here are some clues that the playing field that you've created with your clients aren't equalized. Number one, maybe you feel nervous or inadequate before, during, or after your client interaction. Number two, maybe you're not being totally honest in your communications with your client. You're not calling them out on things that they're ready to be called out on, or you're not making certain suggestions to them, etc. Another clue that the playing field isn't equal is if you focus a lot more on your own needs or concerns or fears in the interaction with your clients instead of focusing on your clients. So in other words, if you're focusing a lot more on, am I good enough? Will she be happy with the work that we do together? Does she like me? Right, like all of that. If you're making it more about you than your client, chances are you don't have an equal playing field there. Oftentimes, if you feel drained by the client relationship, it means that there isn't an equal playing field. Another clue is if you notice that you're pretty consistently concerned that your client isn't going to succeed, there may be something off with the playing field. And then an important one that I really want to emphasize, I mean, they're all important, but you know, one that I just want to emphasize here is another clue that it's not an equal playing field is if you are doing way more than you need to. If you are working, if you're just like emailing the client constantly in between sessions to see how they're doing, or, you know, going longer on sessions than you need to, like if you just can recognize that you're doing more, chances are there isn't an equal playing field. And that's because if you're showing up either from a less than place with your clients, or an over-responsibility place with your clients because you don't think that they're responsible enough, then that's unequal, right? It's an unequal playing field. And when you do this, sometimes when we overwork for a client, we think we're doing them a service, but really we're doing them a disservice, and we're also doing ourselves a disservice. Okay, so how do you equalize the playing field? How do you equalize the playing field? Well, first thing is to really know, and I want you to write this down, to really know that my clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. You want to live and breathe by this statement. My clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. So there is no need to fix your clients in any way. The moment you approach the coaching relationship is that you need to fix anyone or their problems, then it's no longer equal and it's not going to be as effective. Yes, of course, you have suggestions and tools for clients, of course, but the fixing, if you're approaching it with the fixing, then you're not seeing them as whole and complete. You're not totally respecting them. The first thing you want to do, your first job, is to give unconditional love, respect, acceptance to your client, and for you to really feel how valuable and able and whole and complete your client is. So let's take a closer look at this for a moment. I want you to think about your current client relationships. And if you're not yet working with clients, then you can look at any of your relationships in your life, friends, family members, colleagues, kids, if you have kids, anyone. If you're working with clients, look at your client relationship. Where are the places in your relationships that you're making the client less than you? And if you're not yet working with clients, again, the family member, the kid, the friend, the colleague, the team member. I know, you know, I'm always honest with you guys, and I'll just be honest for a moment. I am masterful at this with my clients. I can equalize the playing field when it comes to my kids. Sometimes not so much, right? So what are the judgments or assumptions that you make about your clients? And I want you to get as specific and as possible here. Take a moment and jot down, where have you been feeling that your clients, or if you're working with your kids, friends, family members, whoever, are less than whole and complete? And again, this doesn't mean that they don't have their challenges. Of course they do. That's why your clients have hired you. But there's a difference between a client having a challenge or a learning curve and a client being detrimentally flawed or not good enough. So where are you feeling that they're less than whole and complete? You know, an example is you may have a client where you maybe haven't even realized it yet, and now that we're looking at this, you're seeing this, where sometimes you think, ugh, he'll never be able to stick to a food plan for more than 2 days. Or she's so committed to being a victim that she'll never take actions towards her success. So where are the places? I'll give you another moment to look. And again, I want to normalize this. I'm not asking you this question to beat yourself up or for you to feel bad. Like, this happens to all of us. This is why we need to look at this. So whatever you've identified, here's my question for you. How is this impacting the relationship? So when you take a look at the judgments or assumptions, the ways that you feel like a client is less than whole and complete, that they're not able, how is that impacting the relationship? Think back to those different clues I gave you before on how the unequal playing field shows up. How is it impacting the relationship? Are you overworking because of it? As an example. Are you feeling drained by the relationship because of it? Are you not being totally honest in your communications with your client because of it? Is it affecting how you're showing up, your energy, your presence? Okay, so once you've identified where you might be making clients less than you and seen how it's impacting the relationship, the next step is to just take a look at the assumptions that you're making about the client and reframe them. So for example, Jack will never be able to stick to a food plan for more than 2 days, right? Let's say that's the assumption that you've been thinking. The reframe might be, it's challenging for Jack to stick to a food plan, but he's asked for my support for a reason, and I sense that with encouragement and accountability and food planning, he'll be able to do it. Right? So we don't want to pretend like it's not challenging for Jack. We want to honor that, but we just want to reframe how we're thinking about it. Or if the assumption was, Rita's so committed to being a victim that she's never going to take action towards her success. Maybe the reframe is, Rita has the tendency to fall into her victimized self, but she's incredibly smart and self-aware, and I know that she really wants to change her habits. Right? Again, we're not denying the client patterns, but we just want to shift our thinking, how we're it's subtle, right? But just how we're approaching. Okay, I know I've been talking a lot on this call. I'm going to talk a little bit more, and then we'll open up for questions and shares. Okay, so we want to work on really believing that our clients are whole and complete exactly as they are. And you'll have some more homework on that too. I want you to do some reframes for homework, and you'll also have a worksheet. But the other piece here to equalize the playing field is to deeply know and trust that you are whole and complete exactly as you are. You are whole and complete exactly as you are. As soon as you approach your coaching, your clients, your client interactions from a place of not knowing that you as the practitioner are whole and complete as you are, that's when the playing field becomes unequal, and that's when things start to go off kilter. Again, that doesn't mean that you don't have issues, right? We all have issues. But you can have issues and still be whole and complete. So let's take a closer look at this for a moment. And let's take, again, a look at your current client relationships. And again, if you're not currently working with clients, look at just any other relationship in your life. Where are the places in your client relationship that you're making yourself less than the other? What are the judgments that you're making about yourself? And again, get as specific as you possibly can here. Where are you feeling that you're not smart enough or not skilled enough or not successful enough or not intuitive enough or whatever it is? And I'll just share with you, even for myself, after coaching, for decades, whenever I take on a new client who is a much, much higher earner than I am, because I have clients that I train and that I coach that are into the multiple seven figures, eight figures, right? Whenever I take on a new client that is a higher earner than me, I come back to this. I check myself here, right? Because they earn more than me, I may have the tendency to go into not good enough. Like, who am I to help them? What am I going to be able to provide? Why are they coming to me? They should be going to someone else. They're so much better, blah, 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 right? All the things. And I know to check myself so that I remember that I am whole and complete, that I'm not making myself less than. I remember that this client has hired me for a specific reason, right? And I can show up as that transformational coach with the equal playing field. So where are the places in your client relationships or any relationship that you're making yourself less than? What are the judgments that you make about yourself? And how is this impacting the relationship? When you make yourself less than, how does it impact the relationship? Again, remembering that the relationship is key to everything, and the powerful energetics in the relationship is key to everything. And so, again, a piece of homework, and you can even do it right now. Well, let's do a reframe, one reframe right now. You want to reframe, right? So in the example that I gave for myself, the reframe is, even though this client is a higher earner than I am, I have expertise and knowledge that this client deeply wants. And I know from experience that I can deliver it and help them learn it and master it. So what's your reframe on your less than? And take a moment with that. Okay, let's pause here. We've still got some more content for today before we part, but I want to just take a moment and hear what's coming up for some of you from the I am whole and complete exactly as I am, or my client is whole and complete exactly as I am, this idea of equalizing the playing field. Star 2 to raise your hand. I'd love to hear from one or two of you. What are you seeing here that's important for you? What's coming up for you? You'll be our first share in the program, whoever raises your hand. Someone's got to break the seal. Awesome. Christine. Christine.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, hi. So for me, so one of the things that I put in terms of the client was that I have a particular client who I wrote their resistance to taking action and follow through, right? So that sometimes it feels like, kind of like, what's the point?
Yeah.
And which, as I wrote it out, it's triggering for me because that is my biggest complaint about myself or my biggest criticism about myself is I feel that I have a resistance or an inability or, you know, I choose to not take action and follow through. So that was the first big aha. It's like, oh, look how this is being mirrored.
Yeah.
But in that reframe, I wrote, it's challenging for Al to take action and follow through because of resistance, but she is willing to keep coming back and attempting again and again and again.
Mm.
And that totally, I can't even begin to describe how that shifted my feelings of, like, you know, like, I want to get down on my knees and, you know, and I'd be like, wow, like, how amazing is she that even though the resistance keeps showing up, the fear, that she keeps showing up again and again and again. She keeps trying again and again and again.
Yes.
And so do I.
Yeah. And so I love this. This is so great. I'm so glad you can see this. So let's take this a step further. What do you sense might happen in the coaching if you were to bring this on your knees feeling that you're feeling right now about her and
mm-hmm.
about yourself to the calls? And what might happen if you acknowledge her for this?
What
would happen?
Sorry, I'm just getting really, really emotional here. I just have a feeling it would shift so much, because my sense is that she herself is dealing with that conflict or that criticism about herself, and that it's something that's being mirrored in other relationships, and that this may be the actual first time if I came to her in this relationship with this, that it could soften things to the point where she could actually look at it differently. She could go deeper with it. She would feel safer about it.
Yes, because energy follows energy.
Yeah.
If you bring that energy to the table, she's more likely to feel it too and go there.
Yeah.
Good. Really nice. Such a great example. Thank you for bringing that forward.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'd love to hear from one more person, especially since this is our first call. I want to make sure you guys are with me. Star 2, what are you seeing? Or where are you stuck with this if you're feeling stuck? Star 2, what are you seeing or where are you stuck? Let's see. I don't know who this is. I just took you off mute from Michigan. 7712.
Yes.
Who is that?
Hi, Barhinda. How are you?
Good. How are you, Barhinda?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
What are you seeing? What's coming up for you?
So I have a client right now. We're struggling to make her sessions. And I found that in her struggle to make her sessions, I felt like I was overcompensating, like always checking her. And maybe some other women on the line, or maybe you can help me with this. She is a widow and has 4 sons in addition to working full time. And I often struggle in the coaching space, as I think a lot of people do too, in terms of like the diversity or lack thereof that exists in the coaching space. And so there's some cultural things that I'm also aware of in dealing with my client base, which happens to be largely African-American women and family dynamics. And so I don't want to be insensitive.
Yeah.
Because she's not showing up to the calls. But I do know because of our sessions, there's, I don't know that trauma ever ends. I do feel like there are spaces where you manage it, but she does have a lot of layers. And losing a husband suddenly, raising these four boys, one of them is not her biological son. She adopted his son. And now trying to stabilize her household. This is the first academic year, she said, that she's now operating as a widow.
Yep.
And I do believe that she is committed, but I'm trying to find ways to best support her.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm not going to go into, like, the case study of all the ways to support her just because that's not the topic of this call. But I think you're bringing it forward because, and we'll get there, I promise, but I think you're one of the reasons why you're bringing this forward is because you sense that maybe the energetics are a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look there first because sometimes that can shift a lot even
mm-hmm.
before we get to the other tools.
Okay.
So based on what we've been looking at today, where are you seeing that you're maybe making her a little less than? Where are you not trusting her enough?
She's not committed.
Okay. Yeah. What's a reframe on that based on what you know in your heart?
She's doing the best that she can.
Yeah. So while it's true that she has a lot of obstacles to commitment, she's doing the best that she can.
Yeah.
Take a moment with that. So again, I know, like I said earlier, all this stuff is really obvious, but it's subtle and it can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if you were to really bring that full energy of respecting, like, her full situation, right? Like, oh my gosh, she's dealing with so much. And bringing this energy of you are amazing and doing the best that you can, what would that shift for you and what would that shift for her?
I feel like she needs a win right now, maybe hearing instead of more she can do, if I send her a message of recognition of what she's already done. Instead of
yes.
pressing her to do, well, what if you did this? Or what if you did this? Or what if you did that? I mean, clearly, if she could, she would.
Right. Right. And so, you'll get to that. And, you know, like to more, but to start with the base of, wow, I just really want to recognize you for, right? And then whatever it is, that's what will start to move the needle on other actions.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Really nice reframe there. I'm so glad you brought that forward. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, I know there's some other hands raised. I want to share a couple of other things, and then we'll open up for the end at the end for any Q&A and any other reflections. I want to share just a couple of other ways to equalize the playing field. So we know I'm whole and complete as I am. My client is whole and complete as they are. The other thing you want to remember is that you're not perfect, and neither is your client. And we're going to get into myth of perfection later on in the training, but the reason why I bring it up here is because anytime we have an expectation of perfection, either from ourselves or for our clients, it is a recipe for disaster, it is a recipe for an unequal playing field, and it is a recipe for, like, losing those powerful energetics that we've been talking about today. Again, I know this is so obvious, but we all fall into this sometimes, right? You know, oh, I didn't do that the right way. I'm not being perfect. And so therefore we forget that we're whole and complete, or the client isn't showing up or executing perfectly, right? We forget that they're whole and complete. So we just want to remember that, you know, and again, for me, like, my relationship with my kids is such a barometer for me on this stuff. And it's like, you know, if my kid is not, sometimes if my kid is not being perfect, I will momentarily forget that she's still whole and complete exactly as she is, right? And that's when the problems can start. So we want to remember that and really keep that in check. The next piece that's really important to having an equal playing field, and it's part of the you aren't perfect, is sometimes coaches have this mistaken belief that we need to have all of the answers. I want to just dispel that right now. We do not have all of the answers. We do not have all of the solutions. We just do not, because we are human beings and not gods, right? We don't have all the answers. And yet, so often, a coach ends up beating themselves up, making themselves less than, because they don't have all the answers. There's some things that aren't meant to be in the mystery for the time being, right, that aren't meant to be clear yet. There are some things that need to evolve, you know, whatever it is. As soon as we go into needing to have all the answers, then we go into fixing mode, right? And so on and so forth. So you want to really catch yourself with that. Two other pieces I just want to share around equalizing the playing field. Again, the obvious ones, but ones that we can forget. You don't need to be anything but yourself. You as the coach, right, don't try to be like me. Don't try to be like whatever you think a coach is supposed to be. Be you. You don't need to be anything but yourself. As soon as you start going down the line of thinking that you need to be anything but yourself, that's when we become less than, and then the playing field goes awry. And then the last piece for now, and we'll go deeper throughout, like I said, throughout this program into all of these pieces, I am not solely responsible for anyone's growth or anyone's results. This is a partnership. What can oftentimes mess coaches up is that we fall into the thinking that it's our responsibility to bring the results for our clients. As soon as we go there, it's not an equal playing field anymore. We've become way more powerful in our minds than our clients because we think that we're responsible for them. And when we do that, not only does it make for an unequal playing field, we end up robbing our clients of the privilege of self-responsibility, which I think in great coaching relationships, that's one of the byproducts of the coaching relationship, that we teach our clients more aligned self-responsibility through the coaching container. Okay, we have just a few minutes left. Your homework, you'll have a worksheet for homework to go deeper with all of these pieces that we looked at today. You'll be getting an invitation to the Facebook group later today. Please come in and join. And then tomorrow you'll be getting an invite to have a coaching partner, a coaching practice partner, if you choose to have one. Before we wrap for today, I'd love to hear your takeaways. Before you rush to your next thing, write down your biggest takeaway from our call today. I know we looked at a lot. What's the biggest thing you're taking away for yourself from our call today? Could be inner, could be outer, whatever it is. And for those of you that can hang on the line for an extra minute or two, I'd love to hear what you're taking away. And also, if you have any questions for me, I'd love to answer them. Star 2 to raise your hand. And who is this? I know you had your hand raised before from Phoenix, 0444.
Hi, this is Susan in Phoenix.
Hi, Susan. Great to hear your voice.
Hey, Joanna. You too. Thank you. I had a question about the reframes, but I think I'll work on it on the worksheet and just say that my biggest takeaway is really that even though, as you said, some of this stuff as far as like knowing that the relationship is critical, and it's one thing that I think I've done well in my coaching, the energy around it, I think sometimes I think I'm a really good liar, right? So I'm showing up, really accepting and loving them, even though in the back of my mind, sometimes my ego has me thinking my way is right.
Uh-huh.
So I'm really connecting with that about people feel what we don't say.
Yeah.
And it's a good reminder that I think sometimes I forget.
Yeah.
So thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're seeing that. I'm so glad you're bringing that forward. I'm a good liar, too, and so I resonate with that.
Yeah.
I'm really happy you're pointing it out for us. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanna. It's a wonderful call.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And Lyria. Are you there, Lyria? I took you off mute. Are you there? There you are.
Oh, my goodness. Did I just mute myself again?
I can hear you now. You're good.
Okay, never mind. Sorry. Technical difficulties. I just had a wonderful epiphany at the end of the call that just was fabulous. And actually, one of my sacred commitments is that there's going to be absolute gold in each interaction. And so there it was. So I've been trying to create a program, and I've been stuck about reimagining America, and I'm stuck at the resources to provide because I've made myself responsible for coming up with the answer. And you just said something that made me go, oh, right, that's why I'm stuck. So just a million things.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I got chills when you said that. I'm so glad that that came up. Beautiful.
Yeah, me too. I still have no idea what I'm going to do, but that's so broke a stranglehold. It's just fabulous. Thank you.
You're so welcome. I'm so happy. And who is this from Waterloo, New York, 5473? I just took you off mute.
Hi, Joanna. It's Siobhan. I just haven't changed my phone number.
Oh, got it. Hi.
Hi. Oh my gosh. First of all, I'm so thrilled I learned how to raise my hand with the phone call thing. And just this whole idea of doing the work to make sure that I'm reframing before I talk with people, before I meet with them. I just realized that I get very kind of rushed and, you know, focused on really kind of the wrong things. So it's just super helpful for me to go, oh, my God, talk about energetics. I have to really make a conscious effort or, you know, create some kind of ritual around that so that before I actually meet with somebody, I'm really taking the time to reframe.
Yeah. Yeah, as much as you can do it beforehand so that your energetics, you know, your energy is clear and coming forward with that equal playing field, you will see a difference in your sessions. You really will.
Yeah.
I cannot underestimate the power of the energetics. So I'm so glad that you're seeing that. Beautiful.
Okay, good. Good. I'm so happy to be here.
So happy you're here.
Thanks.
Wonderful. Well, I hope you guys enjoy. Please post your introductions in our Facebook group once you get in there and what your commitment is, any takeaways from today's call. I'm there if you have any questions, and I will be with you all very soon. Next week we're going to move into listening skills. I'll see you then. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.